Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. Dan, it's good to see you today.
You too, Austin.
Glad that you're not snowed in yet.
Yes. There's snow, but
snow, but not too much yet. So we're recording this on Tuesday morning, because in theory, there's supposed to be this crazy storm. Now, we all know, in theory, who knows what happens with it. But I figured we'd start out since, you know, start of Advent, it's very stormy. We just, we canceled church on Sunday last week because of the storm. So when you are stuck at home, Dan, when you are snowed in, you are not able to get anywhere. How do you like to spend that time? Mm. What is there, you know, is there something extra cozy you guys like to do as a family or?
Yeah, it doesn't happen as much as it may be used to with plowing capabilities, but you know, I mean, I think, if that arises, you know, it's maybe just doing some reading that I wouldn't normally do. I read a lot for work, but maybe reading some fiction that I'm getting into. I like to do that in some downtime. You know, it might be maybe there's a good sporting event on or something. Sometimes with the kids, especially Christmas time of year, we'll watch a Christmas movie or something like that. That's usually something we do each year. And so things like that. Yeah, maybe if you have a fireplace, you get the fire going and just kind of relax. And like I said, it doesn't come up as much as maybe it used to, but, you know, like a night like tonight, maybe tomorrow, I don't know if there'll be school, and you got to figure out some things sometimes with work. You know, my wife Liz works from home, so she doesn't have the easy out with that. But yeah, you have anything you guys?
Oh, we watch Christmas movies. Yeah. That's like, and especially like 90s Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. So I think my all-time favorite movie, just period, is It's a Wonderful Life. We watch that at least once every year, usually around Christmas. But I love revisiting the, I think it was 93 or 94, The Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
With Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Native of Kalamazoo for, you know, that's what he's known for sure. but yeah, no, that's when we tend to do all of our, like, Christmas movie and show binging and whatnot.
Yeah.
So since we don't watch a lot of TV otherwise.
Right.
But all right, so we are in Advent now, because there is so much more to this season than the Christmas, quote unquote,
you know,
the secular Christmas season, because there is such a thing, and then we are in Advent, and like I said, we kind of canceled last week because we had too much of the Christmas spirit almost. So we're in a new series now, and this was our first sermon, so why don't you give us a refresher for where we are and where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. So probably a good reminder, the season of Advent. Maybe a lot of us are familiar with that, but the reminder is Advent's a season of waiting, this kind of hopeful expectation that God's going to do something. In particular, he's going to fulfill his promises. He's going to send the Savior. And so we think about as we read the stories from Luke or Matthew or whatever the gospel might be of the people who are waiting, have been waiting for a long time for God to fulfill his promises, for him to, you know, bring his people back. And now we look at it and we see, yes, Jesus has come, but we're still waiting for his return. We're waiting for the ultimate fulfillment of all God's promises. So it's still very fitting, this idea of we're waiting on the Lord. How do we wait on him? How do we keep looking for him even when sometimes it's a bit dry or seemingly a bit dry as far as things we're seeing from him in our lives or in the world? And so it's just a good season to do that, to be reminded of it. Typically, of course, during the season, we connect with some of these texts leading up to Jesus' birth or, of course, around his birth. And so this year we're doing that in the New Testament with this theme of making room. As we said, that's something that comes up, the idea of room or space in those accounts. There was no room for them in the inn or no guest room available. And the idea here is really, how are we making room? And this was our first week, making room for Christ first and foremost in our lives. And as Mary and Joseph were confronted with he's coming and he's coming to your family, how do you make room for him? We are confronted with the good news of Jesus. How do we make room for him in our lives? And then the coming weeks is going to be thinking as we make room for Christ, how does that then call us to make room for our fellow human beings, our neighbors of different stripes, you know, whether they are Christians or not, or even as we'll think about the last week, our enemies. So, we'll keep up with that theme of making room throughout. So this week, really focus on the story of Mary getting this visit from the angel Gabriel. Pretty shocking visit, obviously. Pretty shocking news. Not anything she, I think, could have expected at all. And here's what's coming. And Jesus is coming not just into your life, but into your womb. Quite the bit of news. And How is she going to receive that? And we see, you know, trying to comprehend what's going on, but also a reception of faith, even as she doesn't understand all of it. And thinking of then, okay, how does that look for us? As there are barriers, certainly, things that we have going on and, you know, costs to accepting Jesus and making room, but it's far worth it to do so. And how can we be doing that? So just foundational. We, as Austin said, had planned to do this that Sunday after Thanksgiving. We're going to combine some future weeks, but felt like this one needs to stand by itself. It's so foundational for us. Mm-hmm. So we spent the time thinking about that.
Yeah, it was really, and again, like always important to revisit those foundational truths. Because mm-hmm. Sometimes we can get so lost in the weeds, especially in a setting like this, where we're getting, like that's kind of what we get to do is get lost in the weeds.
Yeah.
That it's really good to go back and be like, no, this is what's like the core foundation of it. So I appreciated that a lot. One of the points that you made, I thought was really interesting because this can, you know, is definitely something I've encountered. You had said that making room for Christ means that we are going to have to move out some other things or priorities. And we might need to rearrange those priorities and how to have a more proper position in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's,
yes,
absolutely, wholeheartedly agree. And usually when we think of that, we're like, well, I might be, you know, too much time at my job mm-hmm. or, you know, I'm not, you know, like maybe I'm struggling with this addiction. I need to, you know, lower that or, you know, all of these things that are like, yeah,
right.
You can clearly see some negatives too. But what do we do then when our priorities are healthy? Mm. You know, it could be, you know, physically, emotionally, it can be, you know, going to the gym. That's an important, especially during the middle of winter for me, that's a really important priority for me to have. So how do I know when my healthy priorities, the ones that I know are not like going to be harmful in the long term, how do I know if they have taken that position of importance that Jesus should have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost an idol question. You know, when does it become an idol? And that is, you're right, it's different versus like I have a bad sinful habit here. Clearly, we need to root those things out, make room for Christ, really toss those things out in the garbage. We're more talking about how do we rearrange some furniture in the room, right? And I think one of the encouragements is we don't need to get rid of those things. It's just that our relationship with the Lord and following of Jesus should be the thing that it kind of sprinkles on all of that. So yes, I mean, good habits, right? Like you said, for our mental health, it might be going to the gym, obviously relating well to our spouses or our children. These are good things for us.
Doing hobbies.
Yeah. Working faithfully in the job we've been given. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are good things and healthy for us. And to see, I guess, the perspective of all those things become even more healthy as they're centered in our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if we're pushing out, you know, if all those things are pushing out, like, well, I don't have any room for my relationship with the Lord because all these things are there. That's a warning sign to say there needs to be room for me to relate to Jesus, because all of these things, I'm going to relate better to my wife and my kids when I am strong with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I am going to have better, you know, emotional, mental health when I'm strong with the Lord, supplemented by maybe other things, right, that are good habits. And so that's, you know, maybe a warning. If we're just looking, taking an appraisal, as it were, of the room of our life, and it's just like, oh, that the Jesus chair has gotten pushed to the corner, mm-hmm. and it's not the centerpiece. And that's something that's not good. We believe this needs to be the focus. I know, for instance, for me, you know, I think of my three main pieces of my life, my three main roles, right? Think of my relationship with the Lord, my relationship to my wife and children, and then my work here as a pastor in the church, right? Three clear responsibilities I have. All, I would think, good things, you know, and needed to be poured into. But I know that, and I was even told that here, and I appreciated that, that, hey, that relationship with the Lord needs to be your first priority. Because if it's not, the other things, good things, will get out of whack too. And so that's the reminder. And sometimes I understand that as you're listening to, that's a little bit more harder to quantify at times. Like, what's the impact, my relationship with Jesus?
Or the KPIs for this.
Yes. Whereas, yeah, you're going to the gym, I can see, like, I've lost some weight. I feel good. I feel a little better about myself. Or, yes, things are well with my relationship with my wife and because I've been spending time. And so just seeing, and it takes maybe some specific reflection to see I've been intentional about my time with Jesus and seeking to follow him. what's changed since I've done that? And I'd hope we'd see the positive effect
in
the other good things, the overall health of our lives, even if there's cost, and there is sometimes. But hopefully it's the unhealthy things being rooted out, of course.
Well, and I think one of the ways that we can, because obviously we can't measure this, like you were saying, but one of the ways that it can be an indicator is a lot of these other things can be things that are good physically for you, things that are in your life that are good for you.
Yeah.
And if you have that relationship with God, right, then you're going to be doing a lot and spending a lot of time and energy thinking, what is good for my community, my people, the least of these?
Yeah.
That's a good way to tell if that has been moved, I think.
Right. That's what we believe. As we follow the Lord and the Spirit's at work in us, we are going to be the best version of ourselves. We're going to be human in the best sense, as God made us to be human as we're doing that. Mm-hmm. And that will mean, yes, we're going to love our neighbors better, including those very close to us, and those, as we'll think about in future weeks, maybe a little further removed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good question, right? You don't need to have the only piece of furniture in the room be your
relationship with Jesus. There needs to be more, but it's just what is in the right place. So, yeah, I appreciated you spending some time on that. I did have one question, and I don't know if this is a linguistic thing, if this is a cultural thing, but this was much more of a biblical scholarship thing. So I'm really glad that I have a biblical scholar here to ask this question. Because we talked a lot about Mary's response to the angel Gabriel in this section. We didn't talk as much about Zechariah. We talk about him other times, other years.
Sure.
But I thought it was really interesting looking at Mary's response to Gabriel versus Zechariah's response earlier in the same chapter.
Yes, Zechariah being John the Baptist's father.
Yeah, John the Baptist's father, who also received a visit from an angel saying, hey, your wife will be with child, going to do all these crazy things. And so here's real quick, I have this here. So when Zechariah was told he would have, or told by an angel, his wife would have a kid despite her old age, he responded, and this is Luke 1:18. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Meanwhile, Mary's response in 2:34 is, how will this be since I am a virgin? Which don't seem to me to be that different questions or responses. Both are saying, how is this going to happen? The order of operations isn't order of operationing. You know, Mary's thing being, I'm a virgin. This hasn't happened yet.
Right.
How is there going to be a kid? Zechariah's a little bit different, but equally valid points to bring up.
Sure.
So why then is Zechariah struck mute until he names his son John, whereas Mary receives such a different response? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, very good question. They happen, you know, just a few verses apart, and the stories are clearly connected. So I'll start by saying I think sometimes I know the story reads that way, but we can be overly harsh on Zechariah too because of what happens, thinking, oh, he just didn't have any faith, you know, didn't believe anything. Well, the text points out he was a faithful man, him and his wife Elizabeth. He had some belief. Now, some of the difference comes in the way Gabriel responds, not just in him not being able to speak, but in the words said there, in the, I think it's verse 20, that because you doubted, right, there's a sense of there was a doubting there, like not believing this is truthful versus wondering how it might happen, which is maybe more Mary's piece. Zechariah's language that he uses there is very close to what Abraham does back in Genesis 15, when, you know, he's being told the same kind of thing. You guys in your old age are going to have a baby, very similar situation. And it points to the fact that what he's really asking for in differentiation from Mary is a sign, you know, show me that this is going to happen, right? And he receives one, and that's really what goes on there. But it's not meant to be, I don't think, a judgment as much as we might think. But it's like, oh, there's going to be a sign, and the sign is actually going to help keep this miraculous thing that God's doing a bit quiet, because clearly, even with Elizabeth, she kind of retreats when she becomes pregnant. It's clear that this is not supposed to be pronounced super loudly. So the sign's maybe not one of as much judgment as sometimes we interpret it to be on Zechariah, but he was seemingly asking for that sign. Mm-hmm. And not, again, unheard of. Abraham asked for that. We see others do that too. But the sign comes across more harsh because he's unable to speak. But, of course, that returns as he certainly fully believes what God's doing, and he shows that even in naming this child what he was called to name him, John, which wasn't a family name. So hopefully that helps a little bit with some of that differentiation. It's very slight difference, and some of that is seen by the way Gabriel responds to one versus the other. But very fitting questions. Again, we don't want to be too harsh on Zachariah. You know, if he's, I don't know exactly how old they were, but clearly in an age where they wouldn't expect this. Mm-hmm. They've been praying about it. Obviously, that's mentioned too. Right. But
well, and I also think that this is a good reminder for us to look not just to exactly what was written, but the context surrounding that.
Sure.
Because like you were saying, again, with the context of, I need a sign for this, that is more, you know, we were reading that into it, knowing what else was said. Whereas if we're just looking at the words explicitly just there, mm-hmm. we might miss that.
Sure.
You know, and so I think that's also really good that to remember that when we're reading these stories, these are stories of accounts that don't necessarily show the whole picture. God is unifying and using them all.
Yes.
But it's not, these are like
every last detail,
which we are so used to look for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to do this investigative reporting almost sometimes. And it's good for us. We talked about that with Mary. And that's a good response to want to know more about Jesus. Sometimes we get on these rabbit trails and it's like, well, this probably isn't that important, this particular little detail here.
Right.
But just like with especially the biggest trail, we probably go as the end time stuff.
Yes.
You know, and we can get really deep into the weeds. But in any text, we can get a little off. And it's helpful.
There's usually more to the story than we realize initially.
Yeah.
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 Well, thank you, Dan. That's actually a very helpful response. All right, so our very last point in the sermon, you concluded that Jesus has made room for us, and it is worth it for us to make room for him in our lives, so we should do that, which absolutely agree. That's something we need to do. And to kind of tie this into that first question a little bit, we might have a really good faith relationship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, earlier it was like the priorities are out of whack. Say we have our priorities in step. You know, Jesus is, that chair is the main center point of the room in our lives. Because I think there are times when we are all at our healthiest. We're not always all at our healthiest, certainly not. And, you know, we go through phases where that relationship waxes and wanes. But every now and then we're at a point where our relationship with God tends to be pretty decent. Mm-hmm. How then, when we're already in a good, you know, we're spending good time in scripture and in, you know, relational discussing of these, you know, we're testing this out as a community, mm-hmm. spending time with my community. I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the people around me. What should I be looking for more in that? Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. If you're listening or watching our podcast, clearly you're making some room for a space like this and speaking at a worship service, all that group's made some space, made some room to be listening to the good news of Jesus. And like you said, there's varying degrees, but, you know, in the church, hopefully to some degree, we're making room for Jesus in our lives. And sometimes, like you said, we're clicking, if not on all cylinders, we're running pretty well. You know, the furniture's arranged appropriately in our lives. And so, one, yeah, that's awesome, right? And I think we feel that when that's the case, we can see it in our lives. But yeah, how do you, I think your question is, you know, how do we, one, maybe maintain that, or, you know, where do we go to maybe, you know, even take that next step forward?
Yeah, because it gets really easy when we're doing all the right things to just kind of slide mm-hmm. and keep going and keep that momentum. And that's great. But again, we should always be trying for improvement.
Yeah. Well, and think of that, like with physical spaces in our houses. And it's so easy, like you said, this idea of complacency, especially with certain areas like closets, garages, basements, maybe if you think of your houses, to just kind of like, oh, that, let's put that in there, and we put that in there, and we put in that. Next thing you know, man, this is a crowded space. And that can be our lives too, where we just kind of are adding things in and we're not really thinking intentionally about how's this going to impact the other things that are in this room, especially our relationship with the Lord. Oh, I add in a little bit of this, so I can do a little bit more of that. Not necessarily even bad things, like we talked about before, but then the space becomes more and more restricted and tight. And next thing we open that closet, we're like, oh, where do I even start?
Right.
And so that's something to be aware of. You know, we talk about preventative maintenance with our bodies, with things like vehicles, changing the oil, like just taking some stock maybe every once in a while of the rhythms of our lives and saying, okay, you know, I've been in a good spot, and you might still be in a pretty good spot, but is anything different from it was 3 months ago? Is my devotion time being more pushed out? We often talk about having our God chair, Jesus chair. Like, am I spending the time in that chair as I am with other things? Or I think just like with exercise, we often need, what's healthy for our bodies, is some new exercises. You know, we have kind of the tried and true things that work, but sometimes we need to work the muscles in a little different way. Mm-hmm. So maybe for us, it's like, okay, coming into a new year now, maybe you want to read through the Bible in a little different way. Maybe that's just a reading plan that you've never done before, or maybe a different version of scripture mm-hmm. that's going to hit you a little differently. I know for me, I've done like the audio version that's been helpful. Just I consume it a little differently. That might be something that can help you stay sharp and fresh mm-hmm. in your relationship with the Lord. Or maybe you want to supplement your reading with something like this, or there's plenty of good, you know, podcasts, commentaries, you know yourself. And so thinking, what might be helpful? Or maybe you love music, then worship music. You just want to add that into your devotional time. You can have a few songs. You can listen to that and just be blessed. Mm-hmm. You know, some of that fresh way of going about your relating to the Lord can be a wonderful way to keep growing in that.
I think that's so good. And I think back to some of the things that I have done that have been most formational for me as I make my faith healthier. And it was trying these slightly different things. I've talked about this. I think we talked about it in, 3-4 months ago. We were talking about prayer. Mm-hmm. And I, made a video. Some of you may remember it, where I was talking about how I can pray through a rosary. And that's not something that normally we would think of doing in a Protestant, and I don't, pray a rosary prayer necessarily. I do, a Jesus prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I go through each of the beads doing that. Mm-hmm. That was something that was very new for me, using this tool that I never grew up doing, but had a deeply foundational impact on my life. And my practice. So I think you're definitely hit the nail on the head with that. Like, sometimes we need to just change how we're doing these exercises. Mm-hmm. Try a different training muscle, a spiritual muscle, as it were. Because mm-hmm. that can be really beneficial.
Yeah. One thing, I was talking to some other pastors just recently, and one thing we're kind of working on is just this idea of praying through the Psalms. Mm-hmm. And that could be a good way, to kind of start this. I got to look on the website, but this Pray 150, mm-hmm. the 150 Psalms, and just going through that, and they're set to music, so you can pray, and then you can listen to it in musical fashion. And I mean, there's another way, this is kind of what it's for there in scripture. And like you said, or just physical tools. Sometimes, we kind of made light of it during COVID, like all washing our hands during the pandemic, but saying the Lord's Prayer as we wash our hands, just mm-hmm. ways to keep us in that relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. What's coming up next week, Dan? What can we be looking forward to?
So this next Sunday, Lord willing, is going to be a nice full one. We have our children's Christmas program, which is exciting. Keeps Austin very busy with his microphone setups and all that.
This year's simpler. But yeah.
So that's always a delight. We look forward to that. They share the gospel through little skits they're doing and readings. But this week, too, we're going to then combine kind of what we had planned for two separate weeks. But this idea of making room then for our neighbors. And in one piece, there's this making room for other Christians, but other Christians who maybe are a little different from us, have some different preferences, maybe come from a different background. And so even there's a couple examples in those stories, but specifically thinking of the shepherds who come there around, of course, Joseph and Mary. I mean, fellow believers, similar background, but pretty different. They're out there in the fields. Their life's quite a bit different. And here they come. Like, how are you going to make room for these shepherds who be like, where are you coming from? And and then right along with that, the Magi. And this is the idea of, here's some seekers who are seeking to know. We've seen the star, right? And we're following. But they maybe come from a different background. And maybe they're just kind of coming to the faith, as it were. And the Lord puts people in our paths, right? That maybe are coming to church for the first time or for the first time in a long time. Or maybe it's conversations with neighbors who are curious about Jesus, and how do we make room? They're coming from a different place. How can we have those conversations and be welcoming as a church to folks who are seeking, or again, maybe coming from a different background, and something that's very real for us, a friendship in a good way. It's a blessing to have those conversations. So we want to think about that. I'm going to have to be nice and concise. So that's going to be a good challenge for me. But
alternatively, we can do what I grew up with, which was the African preach as the Spirit leads.
Yes, yes.
We can stay a few hours. I'm fine with it.
Bring my lunch up there.
Right, exactly. Listen, we've got a table and some chairs right there. You could sit down.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Right, I pull up my sandwich and take the offering.
Listen, I'm always down to try a new spiritual muscle, as it were.
That's right. That would keep us sharp.
Oh, well, thank you, Dan, so much for your time and insight today. Thanks to all of you for listening. We're so glad to be here and do this. We will see you next time. Go in peace.